Oral traditions, storytelling, and countless other traditional methods of constructing and sharing folk tales and urban legends have begun to fade in the past few decades, as technology developed a stricter grasp on society, but more specifically, the ways in which people talk to one another. Much of the weight that scary stories or urban legends used to hold was through the impact that hearing a story told as if it were true, from someone who likely believed it, or wished to share it. To hear a story from someone who grew up with it or lived where it was born carried with it a sense of credibility through familiarity. Urban legends felt raw and based in reality. Despite the internet becoming the means through which more and more people communicated, the appeal of urban legends and obscure horror stories never truly died out. Rather, they grew capable of being spread to international levels and accompanied the very birth of the internet as we understand it today. Leaping back to the transition into the 2000s, we find the birth of what became identified in the coming years as creepypastas, which were often unsettling or disturbing horror stories similar to horror stories of urban legends that we're familiar with. They could pop up anywhere across the web and be about media, places, or events, often accompanied by altering, unsettling, or uncomfortable music and sounds, or low-resolution photos that more often than not had been tampered with. Through this new developing internet, it was possible to make entire web pages dedicated to an aesthetic, to make a story feel more credible or real. There are two primary ways in which creepypastas would be constructed. It would either be through distorting a well-known cultural item, most often being some form of media, or through providing vague bits of information and giving them context that would be difficult to disprove, forming elaborate and complex stories about old photographs, or anything really that countless people on the internet would cling to and share. Regardless of the approach, some of the more successful creepypastas spread like wildfire, but for now, we'll focus on the former, and of a specific urban legend referred to as Lavender Town Syndrome. As mentioned, there was that dominant form of creepypasta which involved tales of media to create these urban legends. Not about physical spaces, but of a media's impact on our world. This ranged from disturbing portrayals of iconic characters, made-up glitches or supposed distortion found in code for games or websites, or stories of what a game or film would make someone do after playing or seeing it. Urban legends, such as the Lady of the Well that inspired the popular horror film The Ring, are examples of a real-world occurrence spurring on legends of a possible digital nightmare, such as that concept of a cursed tape that could bring death to anyone who watched it. However, in the case of Lavender Town Syndrome, it happened in the opposite direction. Pokemon is one of the largest franchises of all time, both a household term and known almost universally from everyone from hardcore gamers to people that had never touched an electronic in their life. And with so many people playing it at the time of its original release, most of the game itself became a shared experience, bringing with it common knowledge and familiarity. Thus, when stories began appearing about mass suicides by children, once they reached a certain point in the game, everyone who'd played it understood what was being talked about. At some point in the game, you reach a town colored in lavender, with a slow, unsettling melody playing out. Anyone you would speak to here would respond coldly or with grief. For Lavender Town, a town named after its color palette, was revealed to be a place where the companions and characters of anyone in that world would be buried. It was a town haunted by spirits incapable of moving on, and atop a tower where the dead were buried, one could find a furious, restless spirit who had died a violent death at the hands of a gang attempting to harm its child. It was a bit dark, especially for what was essentially a children's game at the time. This entire town left a lasting impression on anyone that played through it, both through the music and the context of the town. So when stories began to manifest of suicides connected to its music, it didn't feel far-fetched. The full story claimed that in the original copy of the game distributed in Japan, the unnerving melody that played in the town was written in such a way that it would drive children to suicide, as their ears could hear frequencies of twisted, disturbing sounds unheard to the adult ear. It was claimed that the music had to be redone before a release to the US, and the suicides were covered up to not damage the reputation of the game. And this is where that urban legend began. With a massive language barrier between the US and Japan, attempts to validate or invalidate this urban legend didn't go very far. In fact, as bits and pieces of information were gleaned, it felt as if there was more proof to suggest that these suicides had indeed happened. For one, it was true that Japan had redone the music for the US release. And additionally, it was not the first time that this franchise had caused harm to children. A broadcast in Japan of an episode of Pokemon had a scene in it, which involved bright, flashing lights, using techniques that had been used in animation for years. Yet when it was broadcasted, over 700 people were hospitalized, and some children vomited blood, while others had seizures or lost consciousness completely. So perhaps it was true that there were these suicides connected to the music of this original game. However, with time, the stories seemed to be disproven, chalked up to internet conspiracies who took advantage of the language barrier and how much this purple town had disturbed nearly everyone that stepped into it, despite the fact that there's evidence against it. This urban legend is still shared to this day and still carries with it a weight and a credibility. There's a shift now, thanks to the internet, in the way in which we tell and share stories. Entire web pages or organizations dedicated to conspiracy theories can flourish online. Gossips or rumors of ghost towns and personal encounters with the supernatural are readily available online. And these internet urban legends, such as these creepypastas, continue to float around different corners of the internet worldwide. Despite the social changes brought about by the web, folktales are still built and spread as they've always been. And we can hope that stories such as Lavender Town truly are what they're claimed to be, just urban legend.